Joining you on the radio, State Shadow Treasurer Tim Holding. Good afternoon, Tim Holding.
Good afternoon, Libby.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
What is your response to the budget?
Well, this is a very disappointing budget. This is firstly a budget that fails to secure Victorian jobs. And we know for the last 18 months, Victoria has been facing a jobs crisis. We've been imploring the government to respond with a comprehensive jobs and investment plan. And instead, this budget is a jobs killer. But worse, the investments do not support ordinary families. They don't support working families. They don't support the most vulnerable Victorians. What we're seeing is the abolition of things like the school start bonus. So this was a bonus, a means-tested bonus that supported Victorian families when their kids started in prep and in year seven to help offset some of the significant costs. That's been abolished. The education maintenance allowance, so the school component of the education maintenance allowance, which targeted the most vulnerable Victorian families, that's been slashed. This is a budget that at the same time as providing no jobs and generating no new investment will hurt the most vulnerable Victorians, ordinary families who are doing it tough.
Well, Tim Holding, a report in the Herald Sun said that had it not been for the 15% hike in speeding and other fines, Mr. Wells would be reporting a far more modest surplus than he did today. Is it true that you have just left the state's finances, your government left the state's finances in a mess, that they had very little room to move?
Well, Libby, this is the story that Treasurer Kim Wells and Ted Baillieu want to get out. The truth is, when they came to office, they inherited a very strong budget surplus from Labor. In fact, the budget surplus was more than $650 million. It was forecast to be more than $800 million averaged over the forward estimates period. We had a AAA-rated budget, that is AAA-rated not by the Brumby government, but by international ratings agencies. We had probably the strongest state finances anywhere in Australia, and most importantly, Libby, we had strong economic growth, strong employment growth, and what that means is that the state finances are in the best possible position they can be in because your revenues are strong. What this government has done is it's put the Victorian economy to sleep, and when you put the Victorian economy to sleep, your GST revenues fall, your stamp duty revenues fall, and that of course has eventually a disastrous impact on state finances, and that's exactly what we're seeing now.
I'm not sure whether the Baillieu government can be held accountable for the global financial crisis, which has had an impact on all of those things that you just mentioned, but Audit Commission has actually backed the government up on this, that in actual fact, the Brumby government left the finances in a mess.
Well, let's be clear about this. When we were in office, that's when the global financial crisis hit. And when the global financial crisis hit, Victoria took a bigger hit to its GST revenues than Victoria is experiencing at the moment. That's the truth. But we responded at the time with an aggressive program to stimulate the economy and to generate jobs and to protect Victorian families. And that strategy was successful. Victoria enjoyed stronger economic growth than was forecast. We enjoyed stronger employment growth than was forecast, and our state finances were healthier as a consequence. When this government came to power, they were warned that if they didn't continue to stimulate economic growth, if they took their foot off the pedal in terms of generating jobs and investment, state finances would suffer, and that's exactly what happened. What we've seen is we've seen the government consistently revising its estimates about the revenue that it expects to receive, and that, of course, has an impact on the sorts of things that the state government can do. And it's unfortunately Victorian families that are going to pay the price for the short-sighted decisions that this government is taking. I don't know how you could support a decision to cut the school start bonus for families. This is a means-tested bonus to support families of kids starting in school in prep in year seven. That program has now been abolished.
What would you have done differently, given that the government is claiming that the hits they've taken to revenue 2010 because of external economic shocks are worse than the state experienced in 2008. What would you have done differently, Mr. Holland?
Well, if you go to page 4 of the Strategy and Outlook, it makes it very clear that the forward estimates impact of those measures are about the same as what they were when we were in office. So I think the Treasurer's taken a little bit of license in his speech.
But what would you have done differently, Mr. Holding? What would you have done differently so you didn't have to make such cuts?
Well, the first thing that we need here in Victoria is we need a strong infrastructure investment program. program to make sure that not only do we get the services that we want as a community, better schools, better hospitals, better roads, better public transport, but at the same time we generate jobs while that infrastructure investment is underway.
But that spending, cuts would you have made?
Well, there are lots of ways that you can generate that new spending. It doesn't all have to be higher taxes and charges and debt. You can in fact have public-private partnerships. That was a successful model that we used when we were in office, and in fact some of our strongest projects were delivered in that way, and they generated jobs for the Victorian economy exactly when our economy needed those jobs. And this government has put our state economy to sleep by not continuing the strong investments, the strong infrastructure program that was undertaken by the former government. But it's amazing, Libby, that they've found money. They've found money for some very strange priorities. If you look in the budget, you'll find funding for the Brighton Rail Crossing. Now, the Brighton Rail Crossing, which is going to cost millions of dollars, is rated one of the lowest rated crossing priorities from a safety perspective by our road safety and our rail safety experts. And you've got to wonder about this government's priorities. There's money for new ministers. There's money to make sure that Victorian politicians' pay keeps pace with inflation, but the utilities concessions for pensioners will grow at a much slower rate. You've got to ask yourself whether the priorities that this government is setting are the right ones.
I understand what you're saying about the priorities. I guess I'm asking you, apart from the public-private partnerships that you've mentioned before, given the change in economic circumstances of the world and given the two-speed economy, what would you have done differently in terms of cuts? Obviously, we needed to rein ourselves in. What would you have done differently?
Well, as I say, I question some of their spending priorities. And those spending priorities, if they'd directed that money differently, that money could be spent to support vulnerable Victorian families. And I question decisions that see...
Do you think a surplus is necessary?
I think a surplus was predictable and inevitable. When you drill down to what has actually generated this surplus, what you see is some pretty creative accounting. You see them rephasing and bringing forward dividends from some of our public entities. Now, that means in the longer term that Victorians will pay higher charges for some of those services as a consequence of rephasing those dividends. So a lot of this so-called surplus that the government is boasting about today has really been brought about by rephasing some of these dividends, and I question whether that's the sort of sustainable surplus that the government would want to boast about. But the more important question is whether or not this government's priorities are the right priorities for Victoria. And we say unambiguously this budget should have been about creating jobs and stimulating economic activity, and it should have been about supporting the most vulnerable Victorian families. And on both of those tests, this government has failed. They've failed to create jobs. If you go to the budget documents and you look at their expectations for jobs growth this year, it's 0.00. They expect no employment growth at all, and next year it's 0.25. These are some of the lowest growth figures we've seen from an employment perspective, and it's Victorian families who will pay the price.
Thanks, Tim Holding. I'm sorry, we've run out of time, but thank you.
Thanks, Libby.